Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, September 25th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching. The sermon today is Listening. The gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31.
For this morning, continuing in the Gospel of Luke, is the story of rich man and Lazarus. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Listen and probably imagine a little bit about what this picture looks like. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate named a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, when the rich man was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." The rich man then said, "Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will also not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Please join me in prayer. God, we long to listen to your voice and listen to your word. But more than that, we ask that you take our listening ears and convert it into walking your way. Help us to listen this morning, but help us also to have the courage to act so that your world might become the world that you long for it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't like to preach about hell, Hades, but the discipline of preaching the lectionary means that I wrestle with the scripture for the day, even and probably especially if it's one I'd rather avoid. This passage in Luke is one of the most descriptive and detailed images of a hellish afterlife that we see in Scripture. As I was reading it, maybe you were imagining, right, what that looked like. The man says, "I'm in agony in these flames." And the man describes Hades as a place of torment. This description is similar to our pop culture images of hell. I typed hell into Google, hit search, and the whole screen was filled with red, right? Flames, red and black caverns, people with distorted faces going, you know, staring out. And it was unpleasant to look at. And even though I don't like talking about hell, or even thinking about hell, or looking at all those pictures about hell, here it is in the text today. But worse than even talking about hell was realizing why the man in the story was condemned to hell. So notice this. He's not condemned to hell for disbelief. He's not He knows who Abraham was, so he has some connection to the Jewish faith. Maybe in our present-day context, he's not somebody who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is as Lord and Savior. It's not belief-based why he's there. Notice, too, he's not a criminal. He's not a murderer. He didn't walk out the front gates and strangle this man, right? He's not someone who has maliciously and willfully caused suffering. He didn't kick the man. He's not described as being violent. What struck me was that the rich man was condemned to hell for walking past a poor, suffering man at his gates while he ate well. His sinful act that condemned him to that place of torture and fire was apathy to the plight of the poor. Lazarus was poor. He was just barely surviving at the gates, hoping for discards from the rich man's table. Being poor, poverty is at its simplest the matter of not having. The United Nations describes extreme poverty as the condition characterized by severe deprivation of basic human needs. These basic human needs, what's required in order to simply subsist, include safe drinking water, food, basic medical care, basic shelter. And if we stop for a moment, and we see it in the news, right? For hundreds and millions of people, the end result of extreme poverty is strikingly similar in its effect to the more visible and active forms of violence that we see in war or terrorism and strife. Because being without food and safe drinking water leads to the death of innocent men, women, and children every day, or certainly it leads to shortened lives. Now, our society does not impose any criminal charges or punishment for ignoring the poor of society. But this passage in Luke, along with over 2,000 verses in all and each of the 66 books of the Bible, speak of concern and care for the poor and the importance of building a just society. And these scriptures, along with this, can I say, scary story in Luke, Jesus takes this sin of apathy towards the poor very, very seriously. And while this may be good news for many in our city who are suffering and many around the world who are in need, I recognize this morning I'm speaking with a congregation who has more in common with the rich man than the poor one. Just by living in the United States and making just $10,000 of annual income makes us richer than most of the people in the world. 12% of people in the world live at or below $1.90 per day, according to the World Bank statistics in April 2016. And I'm preaching to myself. I am guilty of this along with you. Hey, I just purchased a home in a nice town with a nice neighborhood and a good school system. I'm not dedicating a large part of my income making sure that other people have basic human needs. I'm trying to take care of myself and my immediate family. So does this mean I'm on the pathway to hell? Does this mean I'm supposed to be preaching to the nice people at Community Presbyterian Church that they're also destined to hell if they're guilty of the sin of apathy toward the poor? Isn't my job to preach good news? And this sermon sounds like nothing but bad news. So I was grateful this week to stumble upon some writings by a Methodist pastor, Sam Persons Parkins. His commentary on the United Methodist Church worship website said this: when we preach from a lectionary perspective, sometimes the boundaries of the lection do not offer us any good news. Today may be one of those days. And as I read this parable of the rich man and Lazarus, good news is hard to find. And so he suggested, yes, look at this passage, and also turn to the larger story, the gospel story of a God who crosses great chasms. For at the heart of the gospel is that God does indeed judge, and also God does forgive. And God's forgiveness spans great distances. God knows our guilt. God knows our sins. And also, there are huge parts of Scripture that speak to how God responds to that. In the Old Testament, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, should count them, mark them on the board, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with God there is great power to redeem. In the New Testament, the letters, Romans chapter 5, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And one of my favorite passages comes from Romans chapter 8. What are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Whew. Okay, I'm off the hook now, right? I get it. I'm not going to hell, and neither are you, okay? Can we just all go home now? I feel comfortable and warm again, right? And yet, lest we feel overly comfortable about this, we are saved by grace for something. So we sang this morning about we are freed. Christ's mercy has made us free, but we are free for a purpose. If all we're satisfied with is our own salvation, is escaping those fires, it's like having a hole in the gospel. The author Richard Stearns writes in his book of that title, this gospel with a hole in it is like fire insurance. Hey, we're covered. We can go about our business. We have our ticket to heaven that asks nothing in return. Just a gospel that relieves us towards responsibility towards others, or towards injustice, toward the poor, perhaps even toward God himself. It's a gospel with ourselves and our own comfort and fulfillment at the center. And he's saying, that's only, if that's all we're worried about, that's only half of what God's really about. John Ortberg also calls this the incomplete gospel, mentioning that it just seems like paying attention to the minimal entrance requirements for getting into heaven or getting out of hell. Yes, we are forgiven by God. You can go home today and be reassured of that. God relieves us of our guilt. We are freed. We are saved and redeemed. But we are saved for something. I've been preaching a lot from the Gospel of Luke. That's been the lectionary for this month and this time. And one of the key questions and themes in the Gospel of Luke is a preferential gospel for the poor. If you've been coming to service for a few weeks, we've talked about hospitality and inviting the poor and not paying attention so much to status. There's the story of the Good Samaritan, which is only found in the Gospel of Luke. The theologian Shaiya, in the Hidden Power of the Gospels, describes each of the Gospels as having a core theological question, and the core theological question he posits that the Gospel of Luke is about is, how do we mature in service? And so by staying in the lectionary and staying in the Gospel of Luke, you've been hearing a lot of the same message week after week after week, because it's all about that same theme. Not just how we serve and how we help and how we love, but how do we grow in that? How are we challenged to become even more mature than we already are? When I think about folks who have matured in service, I do think about heroes in the faith. And found this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. This is something he said in 1968, but I found it so resonating with where we are today as well. He says this: through our scientific and theological genius, we have made of this world a neighborhood, and yet we have not the ethical commitment to make of it a brotherhood, and I would add sisterhood. But somehow and in some way, we've got to do this. We must all learn to live together as brothers or sisters, or we will all perish together as fools. We are tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. And whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are who you ought to be. And you can never be made what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the way God's universe is made. This is the way it is structured. Our wholeness as human beings, as Christians, as faithful people, is tied to the wholeness of all God's creation. Jesus is about crossing the gap to save us sinners, crossing the gap between people of differences. And those of us who want to mature in service are called to cross divides as well. For that's where Jesus already is. And when we walk with Jesus, walking where Jesus already is, then there will be good news for the poor and for those who are rich, and on this journey to mature in faith and in service. Thanks be to God. The people say, Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street, in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.